pray. Not a weak Jesus, no sorry, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Keeping your faith in the Lord. Now, just so you understand what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about keeping yourself saved. This had nothing to do with losing your salvation or no longer being born again or any of that kind of stuff. We're talking about keeping your faith in the Lord, basically, when you and I are faced with difficulties or hard times. That word keeping means to hold. It means to retain in one's possession, to hold as one's own. And each of us at different times will be faced in our lives with the area of keeping our faith in the Lord. Now, some things we have to even worry about. We don't think about it twice. But there's some things that we face in life that our faith struggles. We wonder, is God going to do this? Is God going to do that? I mean, how is this going to work out? And then sometimes we lose confidence that it's going to work out. It's going to always be this way. It will stay this way for the rest of my life. We know what the enemy wants to do his best to discourage us from trusting God in every situation. And the Bible teaches us that all of us have a, watch this, measure of faith. Look what the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse number 3. Each of us has a measure of faith. You may say, well, I ain't got none. No, you have a measure of faith. You do. Look what the Bible says in Romans 12, and look at verse number 3. The Bible says this, for I say, this is Paul speaking to the church, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, that's another sermon, but to think soberly according, here it is, as God hath dealt to every man that measure of faith. Every person has a measure of faith. The question is our faith going to grow? Right. We've got a measure. We've got a little, is it going to grow though? What is it going to grow into? And that's really what one of the keys he is here. We all have a measure of faith, but is our faith going to grow? Now, the first thing I want to look at is some of the reasons for losing faith in the Lord. As we see in Daniel, he has a situation where he's being thrown in a den of lions. What are some of the reasons that will cause you and I to lose our faith? Here's one right here. The actions, now this is going to blow your mind, the actions of other, what am I going to say? Christians. The actions of other Christians can cause you and I to lose our faith. You've been in the house of God, you've been in the church, and all of a sudden, I'm loving everything. Then you start getting involved, and you start to talking to people and interacting with people, and you're like, they're Christians? The way they're acting, the way they're behaving, the way they're speaking, the way they're conducting themselves, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want no part of it. And now calls you to lose your faith in the Lord because of how other Christians are acting. Each of us influence somebody's life. And each of us have been faced with situations where other Christians cause us to wonder about Christianity in itself. But it'll cause you to lose your faith. But not only that, seemingly unanswered prayers. Seemingly unanswered prayers can cause us to lose our faith. I've been praying about this for 10 years, and it seems like nothing's happened. I've been praying, I've been crying to God, and it seems like nothing's getting better, nothing's changing. And if you're not careful, the enemy will use that to cause you and I to lose our faith. But also increasing, not decreasing, but increasing struggles. Wait a minute! I got saved, blood flow, born again. I figured now it's going to be, oh no, always great. But it seemed like my struggles have magnified. All of a sudden, it seemed like they are increasing. Well, I thought it was going to be different than this. When you start having increased struggles, when you're trying to serve the Lord, it can cause you and I to lose our faith. But not only that, financial pressures. That's almost a given, ain't it? You know, I mean, if you think like me sometimes, I say, man, you know what? When I look at the whole situation, my finances was better, it would affect everything. You know? But you know what? Financial struggles can cause you and I to lose our faith. Because it seems like this, you know, if we say, well, I got all these bills I got to pay. Well, that goes back to finances. Well, me and my husband, me and my wife, we keep getting into it. It's because of our finances. You know? I mean, I could be able to do this with my children, but I don't have the finances. And then every time you look around, it seems like it's back to finances. Well, you know what? If my finances were a lot better, I'd be in a lot better situation. My life would probably be all right if my finances were so much better. But what about the folks whose finances are fine? I'm just saying right now, I don't know anybody like that. But there are people, believe it or not, they don't have any financial struggles whatsoever. Finance is the least they're thinking about. It's not even that at all. But they have other struggles. They have marital problems, believe it or not. It might have something to do with finances. Because somebody's spending, you know. Or it could be because somebody has so much, but you know what? They ain't never at the house. They're always going somewhere. And they leave their spouse behind, or they're not around their children. And a lot of times, it could be the finance, because they overly give to their children, and they have so much, you know what? They get spoiled. The list can go on. I know somebody said, I wish I could at least taste that for a little bit and see how it is. But you know what? It's still a financial struggle. But also, difficulties can cause us to lose our faith in the Lord. Let me give you an example. Look at Exodus 32 and verse 1. Exodus 32 and verse number 1. Here's a situation where God came by and did a miracle after another miracle after another miracle. And watch these folks. Look at Exodus 32 and look at verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says, and verse number 1, and when the people, Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we what or know not what is become of him. He goes on to say, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with graving tools after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods. O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Say what? And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. We'll stop here. When they saw that Moses hadn't come down off the mountain, they got discouraged. And they said, Moses could be dead, because he's been gone for over a month now. He could be dead. What were they going by? What they saw. What they saw. And what they saw was this. We ain't got no leader. We ain't got nobody to lead us. We need something else. We need other gods. Well, you know what? When things get difficult, when things get hard, it can cause you and I to lose our faith. And that brings me to this. I thought about it. I said, you know what the basic problem really is? It's a sight problem. Look what the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The thing that causes us to lose our faith is basically a sight problem. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6. When you look at it and it all boils down to it, look at verse number 7. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. The Bible says, for we walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Sight. Now let's break it down. For we walk, that means to make one's way to progress. So, for we walk, or we make our way, we progress by or through faith. Now watch this. Not by sight. The word sight here means view, external or outward appearance. So in other words, now let's flip it. If I walk by sight, and not by faith, what I'm doing is this. I'm walking by sight. I'm walking by what I view. I'm walking by what is external. I'm walking by outward appearance. I'm going by what it looks like. I'm going by what I'm seeing with my eye. And if you walk that way, it'll cause you and I, if we're not careful, to lose our faith. When you look at Daniel, Daniel's been doing like he's supposed to. But yet Daniel finds himself in a den of lions. A den of lions. What are you saying, preacher? He could easily say, you know what? Wait. I've been praying 3 times a day. What in the world am I doing in this den of lions? Why am I here when I've been faithful to an almighty God? Now, we know the end of the story, but he don't know the end of the story yet. All he knows is he's in this place with a bunch of lions that are hungry. There are lions that are surrounding you and I. You and I are in a place, oftentimes, where it seems like there's a lion all around us, and they're about to pounce on us, they're about to tear us apart. And while we're standing there, amongst all these lions, we're asking ourselves the question, Lord, I've been faithful in my prayer life, I've been faithful in my service life, I've been doing as you have me to do, what in the world am I doing in this place, surrounded by lions? Then the enemy come by, and say, you know what? You have been faithful to this God. Why are you in this situation? You've been doing like the Bible says, but yet here you are, and you're about to get torn apart. And you know what? At that moment, we're about to make a decision to continue to trust God. But so you know what? There's no need for me to continue to trust Him. Because it's not working out. It's not like the preacher said. It's not like the Bible said. Because what I see is trouble. But the Bible tells us, now flip it back in the right order. For we walk by faith. That word faith here, let me explain what that means. The basic meaning of this word faith is conviction or being convinced of the truth. Convinced of the truth. Confidence in the truth. What truth? The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 6, John 14, verse 6. Who it says? John 14, verse number 6. The Bible says this. John 14, verse number 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but what? By me. The only way to get to the Father is by me. Now, either that's the truth or it's not. Either we're convinced of that or we're not. It's just like the young boys that were taunting, basically, Maddie. You know, they would say, you know, they didn't believe in Jesus. They believe in Allah. And they were cursing Jesus' name and all these types of things. Well, you know what, my dear friends? Somebody said, you know what? Well, Islam is one way. The Bible says that Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Whether you're trying to go through baptism, whether you're trying to go through membership, whether you're trying to go through by keeping sacraments, or whatever the case might be, none of those things will get you to the Father, but you must, according to that verse, you must come to the Father by Jesus Christ. Question is, do we really believe that truth? Now, somebody will say, I believe that, but I think there's other ways. But then you believe that's the truth. Because he said, it's very clear. He says here, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Unless we come through Jesus, we ain't going to get to the Father. That's the only way to get to the Father. The only way to get inside this church building, well, here's two ways, through that front door or through that back door. There's no other way. So I can tell Rumor, well, you can, but you're going to be a while. But that's the way to get inside of the building. And when you and I are convinced of the truth of God's word, that will strengthen our faith, as we'll see in a few moments. Let's go over there. Let's go over there already. First of all, different reason for losing your faith. Second, we'll see this. What should we do to keep our faith? Remember to continue. Remember to continue, okay? Continue what? Glad you asked. Number one, remember to continue to pray. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse number 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Look what Jesus said to the disciples. Matthew 26 and verse number 41. Watch what Jesus says to his disciples. We'll back up and read verse number 40. The Bible says in Matthew 26 verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto them, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? And watch this. He says, watch and do what?
Pray.
Why? That ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing. But the flesh is what? Weak. And we know that to be the truth, baby. We'll have a willing spirit, but our flesh is weak. So Jesus says, this is how you combat that thing. He says right here, watch and pray that you what? Enter not into temptation. He didn't say that you, so that you would not be tempted, but so that you won't enter into temptation. So the Bible teaches us that Jesus was tempted, but he did not sin. You will be tempted, but the question is, are you going to enter into that temptation? And the Bible tells what happens when we give in to that temptation. And Jesus said the way to combat that is to watch and pray. That temptation to do what? To lose your faith in God. That temptation to fall into sin. That temptation to do whatever it is that's contrary to God. He says, watch and pray. And then he adds to this, look with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 17. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says this. Pray and cease. Oh, I'm sorry. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes we get it messed up. We'll pray and then stop. Pray and then stop. But he says pray without ceasing. But that don't make no sense, Bill. How many ways you walk around just praying all the time? Just say, hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. God, you've been good. I'm doing good. God, you've been so wonderful. Help us right here. How you doing? No, that's not what we're talking about. That word without ceasing means this. Without omission. Omission. The Bible says, we'll meet in a few moments, Daniel prayed how many times a day? Three. It didn't say he consistently prayed 24 hours nonstop. But he prayed throughout the day. You and I are to pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Look what the Bible says over in Luke 18, verse number 1. Luke 18, look at verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Luke 18 and verse number 1. Jesus is about to give an illustration, but he tells them the reason why he's going to give this illustration. He says in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 18, he says this. In Luke 18 and verse number 1, he spake a parable. He spake a parable unto them to this end. Here's the point. That men are always to pray and not what? Don't faint. Don't fall out. When you fall out, you stop. No, keep praying. Then he gives the illustration of a lady who goes to a judge and she continually asking him for some help. He says, no, but let me help her unless she wears me out. Keep praying. He says, don't stop. That's the point of the illustration. Now flip back with me over to Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Daniel 6 and look at verse number 10. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says a decree has been given. They're not supposed to worship anything other than what they've told them to worship. And the Bible says in verse number 10 of Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew. That the writing was signed. He went into his house. Back up verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. What is the decree? What is the writing? Back up in verse number 7. The Bible says this. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, a decree was signed. They didn't say that you never have to pray again to your God. Just don't pray on these assigned times, these days, these moments. Don't pray.
He didn't say forever and ever. So Daniel could have said this. Well, you know what? Baal wants to pray to our God on these days or whatever time frame is. So you know what? I'll just not do that because they made the decree, they made the law. Sound familiar to somebody? So I'm not going to pray now. I'll wait till it's over, then I'll pray. That's what Daniel did. The Bible says this in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Notice what he didn't do. Well, ain't gonna tell me who to pray to and what not to pray to, and he hadn't been praying. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go open up my windows. Slick, hear me loud. The Bible says he did what he normally would do. His normal routine was to have his windows open and to pray to God 3 times a day. He was going by his normal daily activity. Now, we got some folks, no harm intended. We're having some persecution. Which you'll see what's going to happen, folks. Christianity is about to rise up. This is what's about to happen. Under persecution, this is what we do. It's through history. This is what happens. When we are persecuted, that's when Christianity really thrives. Now, what's going to happen, though, is you have some people. It's not so much about Christ. It's going to be so much about you tell me what to do. Well, I'm going to put it out here now. But did you do that before? Were you waving the flag before? Now, I'm going to be like Paul, though. What did Paul say? Paul said, there's some folks that's preaching all right, but some of them are doing it in pretense. He said, but you know what? Christ is being preached. That's what Paul said. That's in another book. We'll read that later. But nonetheless, my dear friends, we see that Daniel did what he normally would do. He opens up his windows and he prays to God like normal. Then the Bible says this. So first of all, remembering to continue to pray. That's what Daniel did. He continued to pray. Then the Bible says this. Then, verse 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. How that thou not sign the decree? That every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, just 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Then the king asked and said that this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. He don't care about you, king, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh petition 3 times a day. We've been watching him. But listen, is he going to give up faith in the Lord? Watch what the Bible says. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He wanted to help the boy. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. He didn't want to throw him in the den of lions. The Bible says, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the Bible says, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Daniel, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, this is from an ungodly man that's lost, but he's been watching Daniel. Now we're going to what you were talking about earlier about your friends. No, she asking you the question, why do y'all go to church? And she thinks it's stupid. She thinks it's idiotic. But guess what she's doing? She's watching and she's listening. The Bible says this king who had been watching Daniel and hearing Daniel, the Bible says this. He said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. You ain't stopped serving him. There's a lot here. He will deliver thee. The Bible says, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. And when the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Ain't nobody going to move this stone away. You're locked in, buddy. Do you feel locked in? The situation that you're in the midst of
has locked you in, a stone has been put over the entrance, and there's seemingly no way out. How am I going to get through that stone? How am I going to break through? I'm trapped! I'm trapped! I'm trapped! But watch this, my dear friends. The Bible says this in the next verse. The Bible said in verse 18, then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither was instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. King couldn't sleep! The Bible says, then the king arose very early in the morning. He didn't wait, the Bible says. And he went in haste. He's running down there unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, watch it. He said these words. He cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. Tell me, Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually? Talk to me, boy. Talk to me. He said, is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Oh, Daniel, I'm over here and I'm listening. Listen, it's sealed up. Nobody getting in and nobody getting out. But here is the king. I need to hear Daniel's voice. I believe that Daniel's God will deliver him. But now I'm going to ask Daniel. Daniel, tell me. I need to hear some news from you, Daniel. Tell me, my hallelujah. Listen, my dear friends. You got folks that are watching you in your home. They're watching you on your job. And they're wondering, is their God true? Is their God real? Will their God deliver them? Will their God rescue them? Oh, I hope he does. I hope he will. Because you know what? I just might trust him myself. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! But let me ask us the question. Will we be able to respond? Yes. Will we be able to say, yes, he's real. Yes, he's alive. Let's get back to the movie. The Bible says this. It says in the next verse. Then the Bible says in verse 21, said Daniel unto the king, oh, king, woo, glory. He says to the king, live forever, king, live forever. He said in verse 22, my God, let me tell you what happened. Let me give you a testimony. Let me give you an update on what happened. I was looking for a house. House was too small. It had some perps and had some non-perps. They had a price, but it was only a 3-bedroom and a bath in the house. I mean, a bath and a half. But let me tell you what happened. I got a call sitting in a restaurant. And they goes, hey, we got another house. But it's got 5 bedrooms. It's got 2 baths. But guess what you can do? What's that? Private feed to yourself. Oh, ching, I'm sure. No, guess what? You can have it, Bill Paisley and the Paisley family, for the same price. Amen. Did your God answer you? Yep, and some. The house is more than what we were expecting. It was more than what we were anticipating. Yes, my God has heard me. Yes. Well, by the way, he got on Facebook. That's why I was just a smile. I already knew. If you ain't on Facebook, you need to get on there. But I got there. I said, woo, glory, hallelujah. I said, man, that's a God that we serve. That's a God that comes through, not sometimes, but all the time. Woo, glory. Get back to the story. The Bible says this. My God have sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, I was innocent. Oh, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I ain't even bothered you. I didn't hurt you. Watch this. The Bible says, and verse 23. Oh my. Then was the king sad. His heart was broken. No! The Bible says the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he prayed. Yes. Why? Because also he believed in his God. Daniel kept his faith.
in God. In the lion's den. Rephrase that. The den of lions. Why you had to rephrase that? Because it could have been a lion's den, but no lions. But see, it was the den of lions. Because some said, there were no lions in there. Oh, there was some in there. It was the den of lions. How do you know? Let me tell you why. Verse 24. And the king commanded. So I said, they weren't even hungry. And the king commanded. They probably were asleep. And the king commanded. And they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And the Bible says, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, oh my, their children and their wives. And the Bible says, and the lions had the mastery of them. What does that mean? He breaks it down. And break all their bones in pieces or ever that came at the bottom of the den. They was real. They was hungry. And they ate them people up. You know what? Some lessons here. What you do, what I do, can affect our families. Can affect our homes. Well, it ain't gonna affect nothing. I'm just doing my own little thing. It's just me, myself, and I. Don't believe that lie, okay? Because what you do does affect someone else. A reminder of the play we used to go see. They used to have it going around the different areas in this area. It was called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Some of y'all remember that. They had a scene. It was a bunch of teenagers. And they was in a car. And as they was in the car, these teens in the car began a car wreck. And they all died. And then they stood before the white throne judgment. And as they stood there, one of the young men in the car was a preacher's boy, the preacher's son. And they figured, we were the preacher's kid. You know, he's okay. Because that's how people, they look at things like this. Well, if they're doing it, then this is probably okay. Because, I mean, cause that's the preacher's kid. Well, that's the pastor. That's the pastor's wife. You know, if they, let me see where they're at. Okay, they probably, everything's probably fine there. They stood there. Their names were called. As their names were called, they would say this. Somebody remember what they would say? Somebody tell me what they say. Anybody remember? Anybody remembers? Me either. What they would say was this. What they would say was this. Your names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they would come and they would take them off into hell. And when that took place, they were saying to the boy, that was the preacher's boy, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us? Can you imagine? Can you imagine, my dear friends? Let's flip it though. You're going to heaven. But you don't tell nobody else about it. You don't tell them the wage of sin is death. You don't tell them that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for our sin debt. Trust Christ as your Savior. Listen, my dear friends. We have effect upon people's lives for good or for bad. All these men's families were thrown in that lion's den and were eaten alive. So why did God do that? Number one, God didn't do it. Who had them thrown in there? Somebody said, who? King Darius. King Darius had them thrown in there. It wasn't God that did it, my dear friends. God gives us free choice. God gives us, my dear friends, why all the family? God's sovereign. God knows the hearts and the minds of every person that's in this room right here today. And that's another sermon. So I'm going to pause right there. So I said, preach, don't pause. I admit, that's just too much going into a lot of stuff. You're talking about service. But nonetheless, that whets your appetite. But watch this. The Bible says this in verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every domain of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And this is a man, the preaching. He says here, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and what the man preaching. And worketh signs in heaven and in earth. Who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? What a God this is. Oh, by the way, the Bible says in verse number 28, so then Daniel did what? He prospered in the reign of Darius. Do you know that God can cause you to prosper amongst the wicked? That is, if you keep your faith in the Lord. He'll promote you on that job full of people that don't trust God, don't love God. And then he'll use you up there to help somebody else come to know Christ as their Savior. What are you saying, preacher? There's two main things that Daniel did in keeping his faith. He, number one, continued to pray. And number two, he continued to believe God. What are you saying, preacher? God wants us to, remember we read earlier, Romans 10:15. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. If you want your faith, if I want my faith to increase, I must read, listen, hear the Word of God. It'll give me the strength to keep my faith and not lose my faith in the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? Not only that, keep. Did we read that verse, Romans 10:15? Did we read that? What do I wonder? Y'all looking at me like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Look at Romans 10:15. We'll be out in a second. Hold on. Romans 10:15. This is helping us. Well, helping me anyway. Look at Romans 10. Not 15, but 10:17. This is what the Bible says here. He believed God, right? The Bible says this. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, let's break it down quickly. So then, faith. That word faith here means conviction, same thing of truth, of anything, belief. So then faith comes by hearing. The word by means the motion or the actions of hearing. And hearing by, this word by is different, it means through the channel. Hearing by or through the Word of God. That word word also means saying. The sayings of God. The Word of God. Will increase your faith. Daniel's faith was increased. And when Daniel was in the den of lions, he continued to believe God. Now, go one more verse. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Pray, believe God, and keep your eyes on the Lord. Look what the Bible says. Remember talking about faith comes by, we walk by faith and not by sight. Look what the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter number 12. And look what it says in verse number 2. 12 verse 2. The Bible says this. Looking. Oh, so much here. Can we read verse 1 first? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every hindrance, and the sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Pause. That word looking means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. So in other words, my friends, when I find myself surrounded in a den of lions and the lions are chopping at the bit, my dear friends, and so looking at the lions, I need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. God will come by and shut the mouth of the lions and I don't have to worry and then I can go to sleep. Why, preacher? Because we've kept our faith in the Lord. We're done. I got two questions. Well, I got one question. Is your, now I ain't talking about your neighbor. Is your faith under attack? Is your faith under attack? If your faith is under attack, let's do like Daniel. Continue to pray. Continue to believe God. And look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You get your eyes off Jesus. You're looking at the storms. You're looking at the lions. Looking at the pressure. Looking at the multiple bills. Times multiple bills. You get looking at all that stuff. And your knees start to shaking. You start getting sweaty. Your head starts to hurting. You can't think. You can't focus. All of a sudden, you're having super migraines. All of a sudden, your heart race is beginning to beat even faster, and you're about to have a heart attack. Anxiety begins to set in. All of these things begin to take place, my friends, if you're not careful in keeping our eyes on Him, but continue to pray and believe God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Father, help us.